Good morning. Welcome into In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Here on a Thursday morning, we're talking with the Manhattan Housing Authority, as we typically do each month. And joining us back in studio with us here is Aaron Estabrook, Executive Director of MHA. Welcome back.
Yeah, it's great to be back. Good to see you.
Good to talk to you once again. Aaron's brought some different guests here in studio, and do you want to introduce them?
Sure. So we have with us Romeo Vega. And yeah, Romeo is our peer mentor for our new program we're going to talk about today. And then Karen Martinez is a case manager that is new. So all of our, we've hired three staff, but we will have four. And our last here today is Natalie Waldo, who is going to be helping as a case manager, working as a case manager, especially in Junction City, Gary County area.
All right. Well, welcome to all of you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we're going to start first talking to Aaron here. What's new at the Manhattan Housing Authority this month?
Yeah, so one of the I guess most exciting things that have happened in the 7 months that I've been there is that we applied for and received and were awarded a grant from the state of about $2.6 million in assistance. And this assistance is really not direct assistance to everybody. It is in relation to CARA. And if we all recall, there was a time this summer and early in May, and there was a lot of frustration across the state and in the community about people not getting CARA applications processed quickly. That created a need for there to be some liaisons at the local level. Because remember, this CARA funding, which stands for Kansas Emergency Rental Assistance, really comes from ERA, Emergency Rental Assistance, that Congress passed shortly after, at the beginning of the year. One of the first things the Biden administration pushed out and Congress did was that ERA funding for rental assistance. And that was a huge amount. It ended up going to the state of Kansas, and the state received about $150 million to help with that rental assistance and to avoid a COVID-related housing crisis. So everything we're talking about is kind of COVID-related, or at least that's what pushed in that direction. But as you recall, in the summer, in the early spring, there was a lot of people requesting assistance, but there wasn't enough capacity at the state level to meet that need on a human capital level. The money was there. The money, $150 million, is more money than Kansas has had for housing in my lifetime. The problem was they didn't have it in a way staffed up to get it delivered quickly. And additionally, once they did get that obstacle achieved, there was still crises at the local level across the state. So people might be calling in to the Topeka office of KHRC and the CARA program and saying, you know, I applied for CARA. I'm an applicant that meets all of the eligibility requirements, but I got a sheriff at my door telling me I'm evicted and I'm going to be homeless as soon as we hang up this phone, and I didn't do anything wrong. I did exactly what everybody told me to do. Why am I going to be homeless in an hour? And that really started to happen. I mean, it happened locally here. It happened across the state. And the state decided we need to create a new program. So in those situations, we have something we can do. We can't just drive anywhere at a drop of a hat and help somebody in crisis. We need to create these places. So BHS, the Bridge to Housing Stability, a bridge out of that crisis, was established as a program. They put that out across the state. Any, you know, nonprofits could compete for that and different eligibility requirements. We applied and were awarded. And so we would, what that looks like at a practical level is if somebody is in crisis, they have that sheriff or that eviction notice or whatever it may be that's leading them to a path of homelessness in the near term, the state office CARA program has an escalation team. So if they're on the phone with that person and they're in crisis, it will move to the escalation team. That escalation team will kind of get a good idea of what's going on, what the situation is. Are they truly eligible? Should they have been approved already? These type of things. And then they'll kick that case over to Karen or Natalie or eventually Kelly, and that will be that warm handoff. So they will not just say, okay, somebody locally's got it taken care of. You guys are good. Good luck with that. Hope you don't end up homeless. They will do a warm handoff with that person, connect them to one of our case managers who will then immediately move into action to get them either, if they really are in a situation where the landlord is or the sheriff says, you're out, you have a judgment against you, my hands are tied, you can't be here. We'll get them into a hotel that night. We'll pay for the hotel, and we'll start immediately working on a housing stability plan to get them into permanent housing within 90 days. And that housing stability plan, the CARA funding, I guess, that became BHS funding in this regard, allows us to pay for different rental arrears, utilities, deposits, rental assistance, and then, of course, those hotel vouchers, even internet assistance. The goal is to be sustainable, self-sufficient within 90 days. After 90 days, we haven't got that far. We don't know if there's going to be a need to continue or not, but our goal and the program's designed to be somebody in stable housing by 90 days.
Okay. Well, that's great. And a big part of this this grant here is being able to have staff. I know that's a big need here for you guys.
Yeah. So, I mean, like when I came on into this position as executive director in March, we had 9 staff. At the peak of MHA's kind of programs, they had several programs that have gone away, but we've had as high as 22 staff. This puts us closer to 16, and that's a good number. And I think that there's a void in the community. We just left Be Able, and Be Able is a partner here. And part of the reason why I was moved to apply for this, for stepping into that void, because homelessness isn't really in our wheelhouse, so to say. It hasn't been in recent times as a housing authority. We provide public housing, and we provide Section 8 or what would be housing choice vouchers to help people for permanent housing. Emergency and homelessness is a new thing. That's something that doesn't really exist outside of MESI in Manhattan, and there's a need. There's a big need. I mean, you can go down to Be Able any day of the week and see the need personified. Who else is going to do it, right? Like, who else is going to step into that void? Our name is the Housing Authority. Like, we have something to do with housing. People need housing. So we stepped into that, and I'm just so thankful we have the human capital. We have very qualified people stepping into that role, bringing their passion to serve a population that doesn't have anyone helping them to address housing specifically. There's a lot of co-occurring needs that they have that might be mental health needs or employment needs or job stability, those type of things. But housing is what we're focused on. All those other self-sufficiency things come in as a secondary need for us.
All right. Well, let's bring on Romeo Vega. He's one of your new BHS peer mentors, MHA Resident Services Coordinator as well. Tell me a little bit more about how you got involved with this project.
Yeah, okay, how you doing? So how I came about it is a little bit about my past is growing up in L.A., Los Angeles, California, growing up very poor, you know, being at the age of 17, being homeless myself, drove me to this because it gave me a sense of belonging that I myself can get myself out of it with the help of just one person. So the fact that Aaron brought this to us and allowed us to be part of this, and it drove me to apply for this because it's just something that hits more home for me. I see people on the streets. I see people passing by. I see some of the people that we that been evicted because, you know, they couldn't pay their rent. And I've watched it firsthand, even with the company, you know, having to watch them with the sheriffs at their door, wanting to be able to help, wanting to come out of my own pocket, but not being able to. This itself is something that is great, and I'm thankful for, because it's going to allow me to do what that one person did for me, you know, 15 years ago, which was get me out of that situation and to help me grow. You know, all people need is, you know, that one chance, that one opportunity, that one helping hand to make a world of difference. You know, it can completely change their life to see that somebody cares, you know, and this, I believe, is going to allow us to show people that we genuinely care. We're not just somebody that sits behind a desk or sits behind an office, you know, and we don't just push papers. We will go out in the field and meet them, go help them. And my job, even as a peer mentor, you know, being able to, like Aaron said, walk them through each step. And if they have those problems, you know, like I did, you know, somebody to listen to, somebody that actually cares, you know, through the whole thing, you know, from start to finish, you know, that's what I'm hoping to get out of this.
We have a pretty bureaucratic process in America right now, mm-hmm. around how to get housing, and there's a lot of red tape. A lot of it's there for a good reason, but we lose that human component and that passion, the compassion, and empathy. And I'm just thrilled that Romeo stepped into this role, because I think he brings not just his own experiences, but that provides just by being there and who he is, the hope that you can get to a different place. This crisis will pass, and we will get there. And look, I've done it myself.
Yeah, I think that's really a good point there, because, you know, I was just in Kansas City this weekend, and I saw unfortunately, some folks living in tents, you know, just in the city there. A lot of folks don't realize, like, the true definition of homelessness, and I think we all have a perception of it here, and we lose sight of that. And what a great opportunity this will be to have somebody who's kind of lived through it maybe be able to inspire somebody else to that there is hope at the end of the
tunnel.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Powerful stuff. So you're from Los Angeles. How long have you been here in the Manhattan area?
So I moved out to the Manhattan area back in July of 2015. After getting my life completely together, so to speak, I wanted to give my life, myself and my family, a better life. Being in California, again, poverty is a very big thing. Like you said, not very many people know what homelessness actually looks like. They don't know what it looks like firsthand. Again, growing up in California, being on Skid Row, a lot of people can see it from pictures, but they don't know what it's like to where you living in a tent, living without a tent when it's 100 degrees outside or it's 40 degrees outside. This area, people care. So I wanted to be somewhere where I'm appreciated and I can appreciate people. So coming out here was the best move I've ever made.
Well, good. Well, keep up the good work. We need more people like you to help out those folks. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to take a time out. We're going to come back more with the Manhattan Housing Authority. We'll talk with Karen Martinez and Natalie Waldo. They're a couple of the case managers here joining us on In Focus, News Radio KMAN.